And so De Valera had a big part in this too, didn't he?
Well, he told them when he sent them over to London, he said, don't sign anything without sending word back here first. You must get permission. Don't sign anything in London, he told them when they were going over. But they signed it.
But when you were inside in these sweepstakes, when you were working there, you said that there was a member of the Blue Shirts in there.
Yeah.
Who was that?
Oh, she was, I forget her name now. But her brother, I think, started the Blue Shirts.
Duffy?
Was it Duffy? It could have been Duffy. I forget her name now anyway. She wasn't in my section. She was in someone else's section. They were divided into sections, like.
And there was a support for Hitler at the time. Do you remember that?
No, they were all curious about Hitler. I don't think he had any support here. I think they've traced a relative of his here somewhere. But I don't think they had any support for Hitler here.
Or was there...
No, they used to make fun of him with the little moustache or whatever he had here.
And a lot of young lads actually went off to, before the Second World War broke out, to fight in the Civil War in Spain. Do you remember the Spanish Civil War?
Yes, there was the Spanish Civil War. And a lot of them died out there, the Spanish Civil War. They took sides then. They turned it into a religious war, Catholic against non-Catholics. And I think that was part of that war.
Did you know anybody who went out?
No, I didn't know any of them in Spain. Didn't know any of them.
Do you remember where you were in the outbreak of the Second World War?
I think I was in the sweep offices in the plaza. I might have been. I don't remember very well. No, it's not very clear to me at all. See, my head gets muddled sometimes and I begin to think, did I dream that or did that really happen?
And when the Second World War, of course, the emergency period, there was so much going on here with the rationing and that.
Yeah. Of course, I got married in 1942. That was what happened in that period. 1942, I got married.
And who did you marry?
Hedley Lennox.
Hedley. And where did you meet him?
I met him in Dublin, actually, because he was a qualified man that we had only civil servants doing accountants' jobs, actually, and they weren't fit. So we applied for accountants, qualified accountants, to come, and Hedley was one of the accountants that came. There was one from Belfast, one from Liverpool, one from Cork, and one from somewhere else. I forget where the other one was from. But anyway, he and I hit it off immediately. The man from County Down.
And so what was he doing for a living?
He was a qualified accountant. And he used to do...
Working with what company? Which company?
I don't know. Oh, Crawford and Allen he was with in Belfast, I think. I think it was Crawford and Allen he was with. Yeah. He was used to do audits. Mm-hmm. And then afterwards, after the war and that, after the war was over, he used to stay on and was doing the audits for all the semi-state bodies. Mm-hmm. He did the audits for those. He did the audits for, like, the grain board and the sugar board and the different boards and that. He used to do the audit for that.
Okay, so he would have been a good witness of the progress or the you know how they were doing
Yes, he would.
And they were doing very well, weren't they? In the 50s and 60s, you know, they were
yes, we were doing all right there. There wasn't the want that had been, like there was no terrible shortages or anything like that. And as I say, you'd open the door sometimes and a pound of tea would be handed to you. You didn't ask where it came from, but you wrote up to the north and thanked them for it.
And when you found that, as soon as you settled down, got married, where did you go to live?
Seafield Avenue in Clontarf.
And you were there ever since?
Were there. Yeah. No, we moved from Seafield Avenue down to Seafield Road to a much bigger house because we needed a bigger house then. See, as the children grew big, we got bigger houses.
And did you rear a big family yourself?
I had 7 children altogether first, but 5 of them lived. There were 4 girls and a boy lived.
Mm. And I, you know, kind of the at the time, tuberculosis was something that, you know, it was rampant.
Yeah. They didn't get tuberculosis. One of them, well, she'd have died anyway. I think she was defective, like when she was born, and she died. And the others got different things and died. Now, little Colin was 3 when he died, and it was a mystery to everybody what happened to him. We don't know. He was 11 pounds 6 ounces when he was born, and he remained big. And people would say to me, "Is he not at school today?" And I'd say, "How old do you think he is?" "Well, he's 5 or 6 anyway. He's 3. They couldn't believe it, because he was a very big child.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was out one day, I was watching him, and there was a big moving van down at one of the houses. And I saw him. Now I said, "Now you must cross the road at our house here and come back up the road and cross at again. Don't cross around down the road." So I saw him standing at the wall, and here he was, and he was watching all the furniture going into the big van, and he was delighted watching everything. But the next thing, the doors were shut, and the van started to shiver to start off. And the poor child got an awful fright. Noise used to affect him badly.
Mm-hmm.
He hated all noises. And the next thing I saw him, and turning, and I could see him from the window, the little window at the side of the house, where I used to watch him down the road. And I went out, and he came up the road to me, and there was a man coming up, walking, and he took him by the hand. He said, "Come on." And he took him, and he was walking up to me, and he looked at me as much as say, "Oh, spoiled by his mother." You know, you could see that look in his eye.
And what was it like living out in Clontarf? Was it a nice place to
It was, to live? Yes. I had nice neighbours, and we had a good locality because we were in a residential part of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we weren't in down on the seafront or that, because I had a next-door neighbour, an old lady, who went down there to get a bus into town, ran across the road and was hit by a bus and...
Oh, dear.
...killed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Outright. So it was
awful. And even though traffic wouldn't have been huge in those days.
Well, it was bad enough in Clontarf, mind you. There was a lot of traffic there, in and out from Howth and intervening places. It used to come in there, and a lot of cars going out. In fact, it was one of the places where I drove, because when I started to drive the car, I drove in and out that road because it was grand and quiet in the morning.
Nice.
I could go along, grand. Free wheel round corners when the gears couldn't change for me.
What was the make of car? Do you remember?
It was a Fiat. We had a Fiat Anglia first.
Yeah.
And that was all right to drive in. But it was another one we had. We had a Ford Anglia, I think. We had a blue car. That the gears were awful in it. I couldn't manage the gears at all.
Tell me, what was Dublin like, in the 1930s and 40s? Because I'm just thinking, or even the... Do you know the style, the fashion?
Yes. Well, I'll give you one instance. You could travel up and down on each side of the quay, each side of Dublin, Connell Street. You could go up and down on one side, you could go up and down on the other side. So I was standing over near where Cleary's is now, and I was standing there and I was watching a bread car driving up on the far side. And he was galloping along, and suddenly the horse lost its footing or slipped or something. You know the way they used to,
the shoe with skeet.
And the horse went down, and down went the bread car. And I saw that, and he was galloping away up the street at the time when it happened. And he would have had to come down the same street. But I was over the other side, you might say two streets away, standing over near Clears. I was waiting for a bus there. And I saw that happening. And it was awful to watch it. See the horse coming down and the car coming down on top of him practically.
What were they carrying? Do you remember? Was it a...
I think it was a bread car.
Was it? Yeah.
Yes. It was about that size anyway, and a closed-in car. And I think it was a bread car.
And in those days... okay, great.
The trams ran on tracks in the centre of the road. And they had certain poles that they stopped at. And how you knew where the tram was going to stop, the top of the pole was painted white. And if there was no pole to paint white, it was painted on a wall or a tree or something near them where the tram was to stop. And the tram went so many of these white distances.
Oh, I see.
Stopped.
I'm just thinking there wasn't too many cars on the road in those days. And would you hear the noise of the tram coming up and down the street?
You would, yes, you'd hear. And actually, we used to stand at the hall door at home in the evening, and Daddy'd say, that's the Dorky tram going by now at Balt Bridge. We could hear it at our hall door in the stillness of the night. You could hear the tram go. That's the Dorky tram going out. That's the number 8 tram going out to Dorky now at this hour of the night.
Oh, yeah, because he'd know from the sound of the time.
Actually, he had a brother-in-law. One of his sisters was married to a tram driver on that line, on the Dorky line. And he used to take the tram out there at night and in the daytime and so on.
Listen, Margaret, you were great, I just think, but I'm definitely coming back. We're going to continue this conversation. So thank you very much, Margaret.
You're welcome.
Thank you.